Hello, everybody. You have tuned into From the Hip Radio with Joe Dockery, a two-hour weekly podcast where you will hear great music, thoughtful commentary, and compelling interviews, along with features addressing a wide variety of subjects. From the Hip Radio will not only entertain, but Joe will encourage us all to appreciate the immense beauty that our life's journey together has to offer.
Well, thank you, Mary Lynn, and happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. I've got a good show planned for you with St. Patrick's Day in mind. This show will feature Ireland, its musical influence on us, and the many musical artists that have helped make my life worth living. Let's start off with some traditional Irish music to get us in the mood. It's not all you'll hear today. Ireland has so much more to offer. But my buddy Derek McGowan, the great guitar player and singer-songwriter that I featured here on the show, he calls this music Hugada Hugada music. But I will risk his opinion, because how can you have St. Patrick's Day without hearing at least one tune from the Chieftains? So here are the Chieftains with Lots of Drops of Brandy. That'll get your blood moving. The Chieftains with Lots of Drops of Brandy. Now I'd like to check in with a couple friends of mine. They don't know I'm calling, but I am trusting that they won't mind. Their names are Kay and Steve McDonough. They now live in Stanton, Virginia. And they're both from the west coast of Ireland, with Steve having grown up on Omé Island, where you had to gauge the tides, a daily concern, or you'd get stranded on or off the island. Kay grew up just north of Steve, still in County Mayo, but on Achill Island. Ireland was quite poor in Steve and Kay's youth, and emigration was quite common. Steve wanted to travel to America and applied for his green card. Ironically, it was Kay whose status was granted first, and off they traveled. Together with their six children, they ended up in Stanton. So let's listen in on my recent phone call with each of them.
Are you back in town? Kay, I will be.
We sold our place up here in New York, and we're going to be back in Stanton by September. We'd like to spend the summer up here in New York because it's paradise up here. There's no humidity, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Although it's snowing today, so that's a problem. The reason that I'm calling is that I have a radio show, and it's a podcast. And I would like to interview you and Steve about St. Patrick's Day in Ireland and put it on my St. Patrick's Day show, which is on Wednesday. Would you mind if I asked you a few questions?
Not at all. No problem.
And is now a good time, or should I call back at a different time?
No, well, now is a good time, to tell you the truth. Yeah.
Great. I'm speaking with my good friend Kay McDonough. Kay is from Achill Island in County Mayo?
Yes, County Mayo.
I didn't know if County Mayo went up that high. Beautiful part of Ireland. And I got a call one day, and it was Kay, and we had been introduced to each other, but we didn't know each other that well. And she said to me, "Joe, I hear you're going to Ireland." And I said, "Yes, I am. I'll be leaving on whatever the day it was, February 25th or so." And Kay said, "Well, I'm going with you." And I thought, oh my gosh. Now that was a little forward. However, it turned out to be my gain because Kay is delightful and we had a wonderful time traveling to Ireland together. And she was going back home and we were traveling companions. You remember that, I'm sure, Kay?
Of course I do, yes. Absolutely wonderful time.
That was. So, hey, St. Patrick's Day is on Wednesday. And when you were growing up, were there big parades up in Achill and all that kind of thing? Is that how you celebrated St. Patrick's Day?
Well, first of all, there's a local band that's still going, a local pipe band. And, of course, over the years, it's the older generation have passed away, but the younger ones followed in their footsteps. So the band would be leaving the end of the village where I lived in Doha. Then we'd follow the band up to Mass, and we would then go into Mass and celebrate. The Mass is in Gaelic. And then we'd come out of Mass, and then they would play, the Doha band would play first, because they were the first ones to start the pipe band. And then the other villages, there was one in Pulla, that's the next village, another pipe band. And then there was one in Kiel, another pipe band. And then there was one from Ducunella. So they would all take their turn when the congregation got outside to play their tunes. And we'd all interact with one another. And, you know, it was a fun day for the children and for the young adults and for the old adults, too.
And they still carry that tradition on today?
They do. Still carry that tradition on today. Although this year it's not on the cards, and for example, not and last year because
right.
of COVID.
Right. How about the pub life over in Ireland now? Do you have any idea what's going on over there now? Has COVID really affected the pub life?
It has indeed. It has indeed. They're very, very, because we live in a community where there are elderly people, and they are very protective of the local community.
Sure.
So it's not opened. In other words, it's not opened. And they'll probably open up shortly, I would imagine, but they're being very, very careful. They're very strict.
Right. And how has that affected the community? Do you think it's been a negative effect on the community?
Well, no, really. They are smart people, and they get their groceries delivered. And Not all of them have technology, but they survive. One or two of the telephones, and it's amazing how they can communicate they all take care of each other, you know.
Great. Good deal. Mm-hmm. Now, Kay is, as I said before, is from Achill Island, and it's just one of the most gorgeous parts of the west coast of Ireland. And it's near a town called Westport, which is where I visit. And I understand now that there is a bike route from Westport all the way out to Achill. Are you familiar with the new bike trail?
And it's well used, and it's safe, and it's very scenic and a very restful ride.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's cool. That's cool. Will there be any St. Patrick's Day celebration this week at all, or is it just going to be on television?
We are going to go with friends just to their house.
Wonderful.
And maybe about six couples.
Great.
In all. And then we're going to, they're having a little hooli.
A hooli. Explain exactly.
They sing songs and they have a place to dance around. And
what's the difference between a hooli and a ceilidh?
Not much, because that's just my expression. We use that, you know, when you go to a person's house rather than go into a hall to the ceilidh.
So if I'm in Western Ireland and I use the term hooli, they'll know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. No question. No question, Joe.
Beautiful. And how long has it been since you've been back home?
Almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. We went back last year. So we go home every single year, no matter what. But now we're on lockdown, so there's no admission into the island. Certainly not at the moment.
Right.
They're in lockdown again.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you remember that lady, Joe, that we used to see? This is just switching gears just for a moment to tell you. Anya. Do you remember Anya?
I certainly do remember Anya.
Yeah, well, she passed away.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
She passed away last year.
I'm so
sorry.
Now, you and Anya were colleagues because you were both obstetric nurses, correct?
Yes, right. And my sister and her worked together in Castlebar as midwives.
She...
And, of course, you know that little house that was a door open to everybody. Everybody used to walk in there.
It was right there in the town square.
That's right on the corner.
Yeah, right on the
still
corner.
There. And as they say in Ireland, she always had an open door for everybody and always have a cup of tea and a piece of sweet cake.
Well, she fed me the sweet cake and we had the tea. But getting back to St. Patrick's Day, did you see that it was celebrated at a maybe a little larger level here in the United States?
First thing they do is go to Mass. Mm-hmm. And then what happens after that, they have fun. And
it is a national holiday, is that correct?
It is correct.
Yeah,
yes,
so nobody's working.
Is.
Right, good.
Mm-hmm. And everything is closed down.
Right.
The bars are opened.
Of course they are. That's great. So let's see if we could, anything else about St. Patrick's Day in Ireland that it would be of interest to our listeners?
Well, you know, our spiritual life comes first, and then the bands and everything else comes after. And it's a great tradition to have on the island. It's wonderful to see them all dressed up in there. Every village, they have a different colors, etc. You know, different
right.
flags.
Mm-hmm. Now, what year was it when you moved to the United States?
1993.
And was it always your dream to live in the United States, or did you get an opportunity?
Yeah, we got an opportunity. Yep, we found out you could apply for the green card, etc. And we applied and we got on it and jumped on it and we took all our children with us. Six of them came. And then they all spread out to do their own thing. You know, the younger ones stayed in Stanton with us and then they went to different schools and then college, etc. So we often think about you, Joe, seriously.
Thank you.
And your wife and especially our visit to Anya in that particular year, we were over there to get you. Well, you're a good man, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I'll sign off with you, Kay, and if you could hand me over to Steve, if he doesn't mind, I'll pick his brain a little bit. Now, before we speak with Steve, let's listen to this beautiful song by the great Irish-American fiddler Eileen Ivers and her band Immigrant Soul. This song is called Reconciliation, and it features Tommy McDonnell on lead vocals, who is joined by the Omagh Community Choir. This moving and powerful song addresses the need for peace in troubled Northern Ireland.
When summertime has gone and autumn winds are threatening to blow our love away, then love will be tested. Arm in arm we'll stand, side by side together, to face the common foe who would tear our love asunder. Time to fight, and there's a time for healing, as the sun will melt the snow on clear, bright April mornings. Our fight has run its course. My love, sweet rains.
And that's Reconciliation, with Tommy McDonald singing lead in Eileen Ivers' band, Immigrant Soul. Now, here's my conversation with Kay's husband, Steve McDonough. Steve McDonough, Joe Dockery here. How you doing?
Well, hello, Joe. I'm doing good, and you?
I'm doing very, very well.
It's great to hear from you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great. So when you were growing up, what was your tradition for St. Patrick's Day?
Well, St. Patrick's Day, everybody dressed up. We went all out in the morning, and we pulled fresh shamrock out in the fields.
Oh.
And everybody wore a bunch of shamrock.
Right.
And then we went to church. And when I was growing up, there was no parades or anything like that, and we were too far away from the cities. So we just made our own. We made our own fun when we were kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we got older, we looked forward to St. Patrick's Night because we thought there was a big dance in Clifton in the hall. So we'd all go to the dance. And had a good time.
Right, and Clifton is a small town right there on the coast, and you grew up just a little bit north of there on a tiny island, Omé Island. Tell us about Omé Island.
Well, Omé Island is on the west coast, just about 11 miles west of Clifton, and there was a huge population on there at one time when I was growing up. There was roughly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 9 families, I'd say, lived on the island.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a school there. And then as we got to a certain age, as we came to about 17, 18, 19 years old, everybody started immigrating because there was no work. It was just fishing and farming.
Right.
And when I got to about 17, I went to England with my brother, and then after a number of years they closed the school down because there weren't enough kids on the island to keep it open, and that ruined the island. It destroyed the island because anybody with a family moved off and built houses on the mainland so that their kids could go to school and everything, because it was awkward going in and out with the tide.
Right. So you could, there was a road that went out to Omé Island, but what would happen when the tide would come in?
The tide, you were either in or out.
Yeah.
You were locked on the island or you were locked on the mainland. You had to wait for about 4.5-5 hours.
Right.
Did before course... you could get in or out. That played hell with the school because the kids would always be late in the morning, or they'd have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go with the clothes and for the tide clothes to get to school in time, you know.
Right.
So they just decided that they move off the island and they built houses. Some of them kept their land, their farms, and now there is nobody on the island. It's just derelict. There's nothing there. It's a tourist attraction more than anything now. In summertime, all the houses are full of tourists.
Right.
In the wintertime, there's nothing. There's
right.
Nobody on it. You know, it's a shame.
It is a shame, yeah.
It was a beautiful island at the time. We grew up there. We had to work for a living, you know. We worked in the shore a lot. We would put up sea rods, pull carging, done whatever it took to make a few pounds,
right.
You know.
Now, I had the pleasure
to support the family.
I had the pleasure of meeting your father and spending an afternoon with your father over in Ireland.
Yeah, you told me that, yeah.
And that was a big treat. Joseph, yeah. What a wonderful man.
He worked hard all his life, never bothered him. He lived here. He was nearly 97 years old.
Yeah.
I think he was 96 and a half years old when he died.
Right. He said to me, he said, well, when we were there, we went out and we had a couple pints at the local pub.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, we went to 2 pubs. And he told me that the trouble with good people is that they just move on and they leave.
That's what killed Ireland and killed the islands, because we all left, and I'm a good example. I'm one of them that left and never returned because there was nothing for me to return to.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You know the farm was too small. It couldn't. My brother took it over.
Right.
And there was no room for anybody else. you had to go and fend for yourself, make a living for yourself.
Right.
Immigration was the thing.
So you were 17 when you left. You know, my grandfather was over in Roscommon, and he also was 17 when he went to England, and then he made his way from England then to the United States.
Yeah.
Wow.
You always try and better yourself, you know.
Yeah.
So, yourself plus your family. You mm-hmm. You want your kids to be better off than you are, you know.
Well, Kay gave me the rundown on how everybody's doing, and it sounds like all the kids are doing great.
Oh, yeah, they're all fine, they're all good health, and they're all working, you know.
Now, a couple funny things, getting back to the tide, one of the problems, not only for the school children getting to school, but also for you guys to get home from being over in the mainland pub, is that right?
Yeah, it's closed several times on us, because we would wait to have one more, we'd have one for the road, and then we'd have another five more for the road, the tide open, you know. So it caught us several times. We'd get down to the end of the road and the tide would be closed. So we'd all sit around under the wall, maybe nine times out of ten it would be raining, yeah. And wait till we seen that we could take off our shoes and roll up our trousers and walk across. Sometimes we'd be drowned because the waves would come in and hit you
right. And
splash up and, you know, you'd be soaked from the waist down. But that's what we done, and we didn't take any notice of it, you know. But I remember Christmas mornings going over, and there's frost on the ground, and we'd all, young and old, would take our shoes off and walk through the tide to get out to 9 o'clock mass on a Christmas morning.
Wow, that's
great. Yeah.
Now, when you came to the United States, you told me a couple hilarious stories about some of the colloquialisms that you were not familiar with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was when I was working down here at Rocco.
Yes.
You know?
Tell me the story.
The story was, I was in the office one evening, and this lady came in, and she came in several times before that for a load of turkeys. And I happened to be in the office. And she came in, and she pulled a little glass window back, and she says... She said, I see my trailer in the door. She said, is it loaded? And I says, no. I says, we're waiting on chicken to come up from Timberville to finish the load, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So she said, that's fine. She says, I just got back from having dinner and a shower and all that in the hotel, she says, and I'm going to go out here to my truck and have a couple hours sleep. She said, is there somebody here that was let me know when my trailer is loaded? So I said, sure. I said, I'll come out and knock you up, you know? And she looked at me. She says, well, that sounds good. So I just didn't say nothing. I looked around, and the guy that was in the office, he said to me, he said, Steve, do you realize what you said to that lady? I said, I just told her, I said, I was going to come out and knock her up when the... her trailer was loaded so she could get out of here. He says, do you know what knock you up means here in this country? I said, I have no idea. And when he told me, I said, it's all yours. If the husband comes in, I said, or the wife, and I said, you left it to you.
That's
so
great.
When I went out to let her know that her trailer was loaded, I knocked on her door, and she came out, and I said, I owe you an apology. And she says, for what? Well, I says, I was just told, I said, what knock you up means in this country. And it's a way off of what it sounds, what it means in Ireland. She just laughed and said no more. But the thing is, she told everybody between here and Texas about the foreigner that was working in Rocco. And I was knocking up all the drivers.
Oh, that's great. Well, that is a story worth telling.
Well, the thing is, they all made a joke out of it. They all seen the funny side of it, you know.
Sure. And then the other story I wanted you to tell was that you were asking somebody where some of the fun was happening in the
the crack, yeah.
Sure. So
I was working with a guy down here, and we were working down here on 11 here, and I was there for about a week, and I got to know all the lads. You know, they were all from out Craigsville here.
Mm-hmm.
And I says to him, I says one day, I says, John, I says, Stanton is a very quiet place. Oh, he said, yes, Steve, he said, it is. He says, well, it's always like that. It's a little country town, you know. So I says, well, where's the best place to go for the crack the weekends? And he didn't say nothing. And I thought, did he hear what I said? So I said, John, do you hear what I says? I says, where's the best place to go for the crack the weekends in Stanton? And he looks at me real serious, and he says, Steve, he said, you keep smoking that stuff, he said, it's going to kill you.
Oh, man.
So I said to him, I said, John, I said, I think we got our cracks mixed up here.
Yeah.
So I told him about what the crack meant in Ireland, you know, going out and having a pint and a game of darts or something like that.
Right.
And he says, oh, he said, I thought you were smoking dope.
Yeah.
He
right.
said, I thought that, because he said, that's what they call it here, crack. He said, the crack cocaine and all this shit.
Right.
And I said, no. I said, I never touched that stuff. I said, I never bother with that stuff. I said, I'm on about going out. I said, for a few pints, and I said, a game of darts or something like that. And
yeah.
He said,
now, before we leave this call with Steve, I want him to relate one more story. While he did not have parades in the tiny community on Omé Island where he grew up, he was invited one year to walk with the Ackle Island Club in Cleveland, Ohio, with Kay's relatives one St. Patrick's Day.
I never bothered much going to the parades or anything like that, you know.
Right.
I went to one of them up here in Ohio here when I came over first. All Kay's relations live up there.
You know? Kay said that in Cleveland they have quite a tradition.
Oh, mm-hmm. My gosh. I mean, they were so organized. We went down, they have their own, the Ackle Island, they have their own club up there.
Right.
And we went down to the club in the morning. We got on buses, then they took us to the church, and they put an Irish sash on me and give me a flag. They fitted me right in there. And walked all the way down. It was a dream come true for me. I never thought I'd see the sky over America, never mind to be marching down in the St. Patrick's Day parade in Cleveland.
Right.
You know, this was a story come true. This was a real life story, you know.
Yeah.
And I felt proud walking down to the town. Then we went into a hotel there, and they had food and drink and, oh, man, as much as you want. And then we left there, came back to the club, had dinner there, and the dance went on, I don't know, 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
As they do. Well, Steve, I'll let you go and make sure that you say hello to Catherine and Claire and Joseph for me, okay?
I will indeed. I will indeed. They'll be glad to hear that I was talking to you, and I look forward to seeing you in May, please God.
And I do too. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Steve. We'll talk again.
Well, the same to you. The same to you and many of them, Joe.
Thank you.
God bless you and take care.
And you. Bye now.
Now, isn't it so cool that I get to introduce you to such great people, Steve and Kay McDonough? Now, you know, we're all quite aware of how influential Irish music was to the development of some American music, especially Appalachian music that became old time and then bluegrass music. And it also directly influenced American folk music. So here's a really cool twist. All right, Irish ballads make their way to the United States. Then Steve Earle, a very well-known U.S. singer-songwriter, writes an Irish-influenced song called Galway Girl. And that song becomes ultra-famous in Ireland, and they seem to claim it for their own. And when you think about it, they certainly have that right. Here's a version of Galway Girl by Moondi. And I play this version because it's live, and you can hear the excitement and the participation of the audience. Man, just another example. We're all in this together, everybody. Let's never lose sight of that.
I took a stroll down the old I'm walking the day I met a little girl and we stopped to talk on a fine soft day. I asked your friend, what's a fella to do? Because her hair was black and her eyes were blue. Thank you.
with a broken heart and a ticket home. And I ask you, friends, oh, what would you do? Because her hair was black and her eyes were blue. She said, I traveled around, I've been all over the world. Boys, I've never seen nothing like a Galway girl. Last time.
And that is Moondy, along with Sharon Shannon on the button accordion, with Steve Earle's Galway Girl. When I went to Ireland for the first time in 1988, a local Jewish rabbi, Lynn Landsberg, gave me some music by Christy Moore to listen to before I went. Christy Moore is a much-revered contemporary Irish balladeer, and Lynn felt that before I went, Christy's music would help get me in the mood, particularly because of his sensitivity to social justice issues. And in my many trips to Ireland, I always check to see if Christy Moore is playing anywhere. I would have traveled the island to have seen him, but our schedules never jived. Hopefully one day I'll be fortunate enough to see him perform. Thanks, Lynn. I really appreciated the heads up. So here's Christy Moore with a song called The City of Chicago. It's about the emigration so many Irishmen have had to make over the years, simply to survive. When my band was in Donegal in 1978, I went down to the quay. As I stood there alone, next to the plaque commemorating the diaspora where so many ships left the dock, I tried to put myself in the shoes of a young Irishman. I imagined myself boarding a ship at the dock among unspeakable grief, and then imagine sailing so slowly between the shores of the bay, looking back and knowing I most probably would never see those tearful, waving relatives again. This song has meaning for me, as it was Chicago where my grandparents ended up, and they raised a family that included my father and three siblings.
In the city of Chicago, as the evening shadows fall, there are people dreaming of the hills of Donegal. '47 was the year it all began. Deadly pains of hunger drove a million from the land. They journeyed not for glory, their motive wasn't greed, a voyage of survival across the stormy sea. To the city of Chicago, as the evening shadows fall, there are people dreaming of the hills of Donegal. Some of them knew fortune, and some of them knew fame. More of them knew hardship, died upon the plain. They spread throughout the nation, they rode the railroad cars, brought their songs and music to ease their lonely hearts. To the city of Chicago, as the evening shadows fall, there are people dreaming of the hills of Donegal.
the great Irish balladeer Christy Moore. Now, on that first trip to Ireland, I found myself in a Galway pub, and I had met a group of people who invited me over to their table. They had a guitar, and we sang hours of songs and drank more than a few pints of Guinness. I remember a fella got up from another table, and he just began to recite a poem. Everyone quieted and gave the man the floor. When he was finished, they all applauded him and returned to their own table's conversation. It was something I had never seen before in my life. As the evening was nearing an end, the fellow with the guitar said, "You know, now I think it's time for Joe to sing us a song." Well, wait a minute. I had joined in on a few choruses, but in 1988 I had not the experience singing that I have today. And I didn't play guitar at that time, so if I did sing, it would have to be a cappella, all by myself. I'd be as exposed as that poet, and I certainly was not ready for that. So I declined. But he would not take no for an answer. He just said, "Joe, pick your favorite song, take a deep breath, and let us have it." Well, at that time, my son Luke was a toddler, and I sang to him often. So I chose Joni Mitchell's A Case of You. I just closed my eyes, imagined myself in Luke's room with his head on my lap, and felt the nervousness abate, and I honored the man's request. I gave it to him. And as the last note faded, the whole pub applauded. No more, no less than for the poet, but it made me feel like I was in Carnegie Hall.
Just before our love got lost, you said, "I am as constant as a northern star," and I said, "Constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in a bar, on the back of a cartoon coaster, in the blue TV screen light. I drew a map of Canada. On it twice. Oh, you're in my blood like holy wine. You're so bitter, baby, but you're so sweet. Oh, I could drink a kiss of you. I would still be on my feet. I would still be on my feet." Prepared to bleed. Oh, but
And that's Joni Mitchell and A Case of You. Now, let's pick it up a bit. When Shane McGowan was a young man, he was well-educated in traditional Irish songs. But his schoolmates at the time were shying away from the traditional songs, leaning more toward the rock and contemporary music. He knew the old songs carried a history of Ireland, and he wanted to preserve it. So he took a style of music popular at the time, punk music, and set the old songs to that genre. He also wrote songs with the punk attitude, and with his band, the Pogues, he instilled a newfound pride in traditional Irish music and led a whole generation back to its roots. Here are the Pogues with Sally MacLennan.
Well, Jimmy played harmonica in the pub where I was born. He played it from the night time to the peaceful early morn. He soothed the souls of psychos and the men who had the horn. And they all left very happy in the morning. But Jimmy didn't like his place in this world of ours, where the elephant man brought storm on his necks and he had too many pairs. So I sat to see the grieving of the people that I'm leaving, and he took the road for God knows in the morning. We walked him to the station in the rain. We kissed him as we put him on the train. And we sang him a song of times long gone. Oh, we knew that we'd be seeing him again. Sad to say, I must be on my way. So buy me beer and whiskey, cause I'm going far away. I'd like to think I'll be returning when I can to the greatest little boozer and to Sally MacLennan. The years went by, it's my sunshine, so I grew to be a man. I learned to love the virtues of Sir Sally MacLennan. I took the cheers and drank the beers and crawled back home at dawn. I ended up a barman in the morning. I pried the pump and took the hump and watered whiskey down. And took the hoes and horses to the men and drank the brown. I heard the sight of Jimmy's making money far away. And some people left for heaven without warning. We walked into the station in the rain. We kissed him as we put him on the train. And we sang them a song of times long gone. Though we knew that we'd be seeing them again. Sad to say, I must be on my way. So buy me beer and whiskey, cause I'm going far away. I'd like to think I'll be returning when I can to the greatest little boozer and to Sally MacLennan. When Jimmy came back home, he was surprised that they were gone. He asked me all the details of the train that they went on. Some people may have scared the cock, but Jimmy drank until he choked. Took the road for heaven in the morning. We walked him to the station in the rain. And we kissed him as we put him on the train. And we sang him a song of times long gone. Though we knew that we'd be seeing him again. Sad to say, I must be on my way. So buy me beer and whiskey, cause I'm going far away. I'd like to think I'll be returning when I can to the greatest little boozer and to Sally MacLennan.
The Pogues with Sally MacLennan. Now, we've established that Irish music influenced American music, sure, but don't think that we haven't influenced the Irish, especially American blues music. And Rory Gallagher is a prime example. In 1972, Rory won the prestigious International Guitarist of the Year Award. Here are comments from this great Irish blues and rock guitarist on the music that influenced him.
Well, as a child, I liked Leadbelly and Big Bill Brunsley. They're the first blues players I heard. And it was like more acoustic blues, country blues. But obviously growing up on rock and roll and folk music, I soon looked behind the rock and rollers and found people like Jimmy Reed and ultimately Muddy Waters. But like any European, educating yourself in the blues was a slow process. You had to dig out this record and that record and eventually put the whole picture together. But the people I like would be, I like Junior Wells and Buddy Guy, the late J.B. Hutto.
And I like players like Freddie King and Buddy Guy and Philip Guy. So I suppose really, if you want to pick a kind of an idol, I'd say Muddy Waters.
Those early tracks, the stinging slide guitar and the kind of production on those records. I think that would probably be a primal point, all right. The track, I think, with Earl Hooker on guitar, You Need Love, that really still is on the record player every other week.
And you learn an awful lot from these people, you know, particularly Muddy, because, I mean, just being in that fella's presence, you learn, you know, the way he tunes his guitar, the way he talks, the way he sings. And
but I think all young players, rock and blues players, should dig deeper. I've tried to find a way that if I'm doing a blues number, I can do it very traditional if I want to.
Right.
I can also add my own element or my own twists to it. And if I'm doing a rock song with a blues thing in it, you know, I try to be adventurous and progressive in some material, and others I try to be as down home and as ethnic as possible.
I suppose the ultimate dream, aside from wanting to be, you know, a good player or have a good band or whatever, is that in the, you know, 50 years' time, that one of your songs in any way matched a blues classic,
yes,
if you like.
Yes.
I mean, that would be a real something for your tombstone. I mean, that would be smashing, you know.
So here's Rory Gallagher with his full band and their version of Sonny Boy Williamson's Don't Start Me Talking.
Good Daddy Roses, stop at Fannie Mae's. I wanna tell old Fanny what I heard a boyfriend say, Lord, start me talking, or I tell everything I know. I'm gonna break up the signifying, somebody's got to go. Swap $2 to go to get some market, just out in the street. Old George stopped me, he knocked it down. Black in the ride. He gets back home and tells her, oh, I'm alive. Start me talking. Stop telling everything I know. I'm gonna break up and sing the fine. Somebody's got to go. Oh,
and that's Rory Gallagher, originally from Ballyshannon, County Donegal, with Don't Start Me Talkin'. Now, with this Irish-themed show tonight, we've mentioned Galway a few times, so I thought it would be cute to inject one of my favorite Richard Thompson songs. This is From Galway to Graceland. What I love about Richard Thompson is not only his quirky attitude and great songwriting, but especially his incredible guitar playing. Check out this live performance with one man and his guitar, and From Galway to Graceland.
Well, she dressed in the dark, and she whispered, amen. She was pretty and pink like a young girl again. 20 years married, and she never thought twice. She picked up her bags and walked into the night. And silver wings carried her over the sea, from the west coast of Ireland to West Tennessee, just to be with her sweetheart. Well, she left everything, from Galway to Graceland, to be with the king. She was home in suspicion, that's the song she liked best. She had Elvis, I love you, tattooed on her breast. When they landed in Memphis, well, her heart beat so fast. She dreamed for so long, no, she'd see him at last. She knelt by his graveside day after day. Close in time, they would pull her away, just to be with a sweetheart. She left everything, from Galway to Graceland, to be with the king. Thousands they came from the whole human race to pay their respects at his last resting place. But blindly she knelt there and she told him her dreams, and she thought that he answered, that's how it seems. Dragged her away, it was handcuffs this time. She said, my dear man, are you out of your mind? Don't you know that we're married? See, I'm wearing his ring. I come from Galway to Graceland to be with the king. I come from Galway to Graceland to be with the king.
Thank you.
Richard Thompson. Now, in a past podcast, I had mentioned that Mary Coughlin was recommended to me as someone whose music I should bring home with me. I did, and I am certainly glad I did. I'm just mesmerized by her voice. She's a Galway girl herself, by the way. From her album Uncertain Pleasures, this is Invisible to You.
Couldn't hear me.
From Galway, that's Mary Coughlan with Invisible to You. In 2007, a movie came out called Once. It is set in Dublin and stars a young Irish musician, played by Glenn Hansard, whose day job is a vacuum cleaner repairman. His co-star is an immigrant from the Czech Republic, played by Markéta Erglová, who sells flowers on the street. The fella, you never get to know either one's names in the movie, is a street musician, a busker, and his co-star is attracted to the original songs he performs on the street, often near where she sells flowers. She herself is a songwriter, and the two eventually collaborate, and the show goes on from there. It is an incredibly attractive and delightful movie that I've seen not once, but three times, and I'd gladly watch it again. It is a sparse movie and was filmed on a $133,000 budget. The music store scene of this song I'm going to play is no less than magical. And the song actually won an Academy Award for Best Original Song. Make sure you check this movie out. It is a sure thing. From the movie Once, this is Falling Slowly.
Take this sinking boat and point it yourself. It's time that you mourn. Take this sinking boat and point it home. We still got time. Raise your hopeful voice. You have a choice. You've made it now. Fall in slowly, sing your
Glenn Hansard and Markéta Urglova with Falling Slowly from the movie Once. Now, another movie of note is the 1991 Irish film The Commitments. It's a musical comedy, drama, and is one of those movies that didn't do as well at the box office when it first came out as it has over the years. And now it has easily gained cult status, and in hindsight has been considered one of Ireland's finest films. And having been in many rock bands over the years, I can certainly relate to the internal turmoil played out in this film. What did click, though, was the music. A young aficionado of American soul music puts together a band of local musicians guided by an older horn player who puts the soul into this group of amateurs. Another example of how Black American music has influenced the musicians and singers in Ireland. Here are The Commitments with Andrew Strong on lead vocal with their version of the soul hit Dark End of the Street.
At the dark end of the street, that is where we always be, hiding in shadow. In darkness to hide a wrong. You and me at the dark end of the street. You and me. I know time is gonna take its toll. We have to pay for the love we stole. It's a sin, and we know it's wrong. Oh, but our love keeps going on strong. Steal away to the dark end of the street, you and me. They're gonna find us. Dark end of the street, you and me. And when the daylight hours rolls around, and by chance we're both down the town, if we should meet, just walk on by, yeah.
The Commitments with The Dark End of the Street. Now, I just can't get near the end of the show without playing this particular song. In 1851, a woman by the name of Jane Ross from County Londonderry in Northern Ireland, she heard an itinerant fiddler playing a haunting tune on the streets of Lym Vaddy. The tune, she was told, was called Londonderry Air and had no lyrics. She notated the song for her friend George Petrie in Dublin, a noted song collector. The fiddler, however, was never identified. Fast forward 60 years, and in 1912, a woman, Margaret Weatherly, heard some Irish workers playing the tune in Colorado, of all places. She sent a manuscript of the song to her songwriting brother in England, Frederick Weatherly. He had written the lyrics to a different melody, but it was not successful. When he heard this tune, he knew that his lyrics matched with the sentiment of the melody. The song is about a father seeing his son off to war or emigration. It's not been conclusively established. And he asks only for his love so he may rest peacefully when his time has come. But I believe it is a song about Ireland herself. And the song was published in 1913, sung by Elsie Griffin, and became an instant hit. So here's a tune from Northern Ireland, heard in Colorado, lyrics written in England, but whose heart lies firmly in the Republic of Ireland. Here's Danny Boy.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and on the mountainside.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the St. Patrick's Day version of From the Hip Radio. And I once again invite you to write me at fromthehipradio@gmail.com with any comments or suggestions. Now, I'm going to close the show tonight with my band from Stanton, Virginia, with an Irish hornpipe, but played as a jazz waltz, with Jim Harrington on the accordion, Buddy Thomas on guitar, Kevin Walsh on bass, and me on percussion. This is our version of The Rights of Man. See you next week.